Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. Those that are subscribers, thank you. We really appreciate it. Those that have sent us cards and emails and things, thank you. Very sweet of you to do that. It really encourages us to keep moving forward. Those watching on Rumble, please like, share, and follow. And those that enjoy these podcasts, please consider going to agendaweekly.com where you can subscribe and receive all the different things that we offer each week. Today, I'm interviewing Trevor Louden. He's going to give us an update, some of his thoughts on the election, things that have happened since then, and then really get into what the Chinese communists are doing inside of America and outside to still set the stage to take us down. That is their number one goal. They're completely focused on it. And even with different things that are going on in China and America, they have not changed course. So I think you'll learn a lot about some of the things that are taking place all around us. But I really appreciate you joining me today. I wanted to answer just a few of your questions that came in recently before I go to the Trevor Louden interview. Andy was asking me about his 7-year-old daughter. They're wanting to put her in a gifted and talented program. She homeschools, but through a charter school. Well, that's not homeschooling. So I want you to first know that you're not homeschooling. Just because a child is doing their schoolwork at home does not mean they are homeschooled. Homeschooled is when the mother and father are the teachers, and you're using a curriculum that is accurate in everything that it's presenting. It's not filled with lies and myths and things like the government school system. So my advice to you is to stop being involved with the charter school and start homeschooling your daughter. If she's gifted and talented, which I'm sure she is, you'll be able to see that and nurture it in the right directions and encourage her to have the right vision for her life, the way God would want her to be directing her energies and efforts and everything. But don't get involved in that, is my opinion on that. Alan wrote in, can't receive your podcast on Spotify anymore. You know, what's going on? They've taken it down again. I'm trying to get it back up on there. Last summer, all the platforms removed all of my podcast episodes. And they said, oh, it was just a computer glitch, whatever, which of course it wasn't. But anyway, we're trying to get it back up on there, but go to a different one if you can't get it on there right now. Podbean has it, and Apple Podcasts has it, and a few other ones. And then Michael wrote in, he was wondering if I had read the book, The Real Lincoln. And this book here presents a lot of very interesting information that when you think about it logically, the history of the 1800s is probably not accurate either, like it hasn't been in the last 100 years, because those in power always have an agenda to push, and they're going to use history and the rewriting of history to push forward their agenda. The whole Civil War, maybe we could do a whole episode on that sometime. I could have some experts come on and talk about it. It wasn't about slavery at its core at all. They pulled that into it to have a cause that sounded moral in what they were trying to do. It was really the big government vision of the North versus the limited government vision of the South. Many different things played into that. But on the surface, if you just look and think about it for a minute, Abraham Lincoln is so admired by both sides, which right there should cause some concern. I remember a few years back, I think it was in 2016, the Democratic headquarters, I believe it was in Chicago, where Hillary Clinton was giving a speech or whatever. I remember the mural at the Democratic National headquarters was of Abraham Lincoln. And I thought, the first Republican president, why would that be? And there's a lot of things there, and I don't want to get into it right now at this time, but a president that would send troops down to kill people that disagreed with them, even if it had been over just slavery, think about that. Is that the constitutional way to solve things? Is that the freedom lovers' way of doing it, where government sends a military in to kill anyone who disagrees with them? I don't think so. I think if you start to dig in at all, you start to go, wait, there's some big problems here in many fronts, and I won't get into it all now, but that book covers some very interesting things that are helpful to better understanding our view of the Civil War is probably just as accurate as our view of the Vietnam War or any other thing that's happened in American history. And then Nancy was concerned with some of the messaging, you know, Trump and some of his cabinet presenting Easter the way it should be presented, but is that just to pull Christians in? We do need to be aware that politicians do those things, so you have to be careful. And she just says, in the young people she knows that are following Trump and stuff, a lot of them, they're not living like Christians. They're not being the people you would expect or want them to be, and that we need to be very careful not to be lured asleep or just accept everything because it's packaged in, you know, some of the things we want to hear. And I agree with you, Nancy, that we have to be very careful. And it is concerning where the young people are heading, because wherever they're heading is where we will arrive, because they'll be the adults here before we know it. So it's anytime you can invest in someone that is younger to encourage them, disciple them, mentor them, teach them truth, teach them how to discern the difference between truth and lies and everything is so vital, because they in the very near future are going to be the leaders and take us in the direction that lines up with their worldview. How do they believe the world operates? Do they know who God is? And do they know his principles? And do they know history to know, wow, when people do the things God has said to do, they're so blessed. And when people turn from that and do what they want to do, they destroy themselves, you know? And so anyway, those are things to think about. Then Cindy said, that number you gave out to text Trump, are you sure that's not some scam or whatever? I got it from Trump himself when he was given a speech. That's the number he gave out to contact him. So yes, and I've gotten a few texts back on that line talking about when he was getting ready to have a press conference and things like that. So that's a good number. And it came up from the White House when he was giving a speech. So I encourage you to text him when you want to thank him for something or when you're concerned about something he's doing, and then be aware of what is going on there in the White House. Deborah said that she has been aware of the Agenda movie since Dr. Simon introduced her to the Agenda documentary back in 2010. That's really neat. And she's been listening, she's praying for us and everything. And I really appreciate that. All of you that do that, that you pray for my health, I appreciate it so much. My family, Agenda Weekly, what we're trying to do, that God would bless our efforts to get our message out. I feel it's being attacked all the time, everywhere. I just see it. It's just being shadow banned or whatever. But thank you so much for your prayers. It's a great blessing, and I know God will answer those prayers the way he deems best. Christy from St. Louis, thanks for emailing. She was kind of saying the same things too. She's praying for my COPD and different things, and just is thankful for the different things we've been able to do over the years. Well, Christy, thank you. Thank you for always being a blessing when we come to the St. Louis area and helping us set up meetings and stuff like that. We really appreciate it. So anyway, now we're going to go to the Trevor Lowden interview. I hope you will enjoy this, and then I'll wrap things up at the end. Trevor Lowden, thank you so much for joining me today.
Always a pleasure, Curtis. Always great to catch up, sir.
Absolutely. And, I miss seeing you in person. Hopefully that can happen in the near future. Had several of the Agenda Weekly people email me over the last month. Where's Trevor Lowden? We want to hear what he's thinking about things. I said, you're right. Just time goes so quickly. And so I emailed you, and I appreciate you responding and coming on. I'm just going to walk you through several things here I think are important, and you tell us your thoughts on them. But start back November last year, the election. What are your thoughts on how it turned out? And we all had many valid concerns about things, but just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I don't think the election saved America, but it gave us a fighting chance. You know, we were we were facing destruction under Kamala Harris. It's basically a pro-Chinese communist, and all she had to do was legalize 30 million illegal immigrants and give them citizenship and voting rights, and the Democrats would have ruled America forever. That would have been the Republic would have been over, and China would have ruled this land. So it was absolutely critical. I think it was a miracle. I think when that bullet grazed Trump's ear up in Pennsylvania, I think that sent a very clear message that this country was not to be lost. And but the other thing is, we Trump makes mistake. Trump does things wrong. Trump still has a problem with some pretty rough people around him, but he's given us a new chance. He's given us a new future. But I think the lesson to me learned from 2016 to 2020 to 2024, 2016, it was a bit of a miracle that Trump won, and he did well. In 2020, we got it stolen away from us. Because I think after 2016, a lot of people just went to sleep, thought, oh, yeah, it's okay. Trump's in the White House. We can stop now. And we, like naughty little puppies have soiled the carpet, we got our noses rubbed in it. And I think that was actually a good thing in some ways, because it woke up millions of Americans to the fact that we cannot rely on someone else to do this for us. We all have to participate in this. We all have to be part of it. So I'm super glad Trump won. Definitely was a huge relief to all of us. And congratulations to the hard workers in Pennsylvania and all the other states that made it happen. But the work ain't finished. The work's just starting. And we got to acknowledge that, I think.
Absolutely. I think everyone's starting to acknowledge that we need to continue to further this idea. We can never stop because they're never going away.
The bad guys never stop.
That's
Why?
right. And they will never, so we can't either, or we're just one election away from another Kamala or whatever coming in there. And in 4 more years, there won't be a chance of the system, the cage will be locked where there's no way to escape what they've got for us. So then from the election, which I think everyone, it was a relief, just, oh, okay, maybe we have a chance now.
I was just so relieved after that night. I think most America breathed a collective sigh of relief, I think, that day.
That's right. No, we did. We were just so grateful. And so then from that day, talk about Trump 2.0 a little bit. Tell us some of the things you've really liked and seen. Of course, his drive is like nobody else. There's never been anyone that's worked harder at what they do than him, than President Trump. He's a miracle how at his age he could still do 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. But then some of the things that maybe cause concern for you as well, but just kind of give an overview of what you've seen this 100 days or so.
Okay, on domestic policy, I'm very, very happy. Abolishing the Department of Education, ending the wokeness in the military, the reorientation of the country, the push for tax cuts, all of that's good. The protection of religion, excellent, excellent, excellent. I'm all in favor of everything he's done, especially the beginning of the repatriation of the illegal immigrants and the near closure of the border. But we got to realize we're still probably bringing in more than we're still probably more is still getting in than are going out at the moment. But at least those massive surges have stopped. And if it wasn't for the activist judges, there'd be a lot more deportations than there have been, I think. And that's a good lesson to all of us. If these judges prevail, we could go through four terms and repatriate 100,000 people. When there's 20 million, 30 million, 40 million here. So everything's great on the domestic front. I think I'm not complaining at all. The Doge thing is great. The closing of government departments and just firing useless people. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with all of that. And sure, there's a it's a bit of a blunt hammer sometimes, and I'm sure there's some people who got fired that didn't deserve to be. But I want to see government departments just abolished, like the Department of Education. There's many more that can go. On the international front, I'm more mixed. I am very good with Trump's support for Israel, though I think his use of Steve Witkoff as his special envoy is a disaster. I don't think Witkoff knows what he's doing. And when Trump basically told, well, Trump's done two things. He told the Israelis to stop their war on Hamas for a while and made a fake peace agreement. And then he basically held them back from attacking Iran the other day. And I think that will still go ahead. So sort of mixed on that. The international tariffs on China, fantastic. Make it 1,000% as far as I'm concerned. We gotta bring the Chinese to heel, and we gotta break that supply chain between America and China. We gotta have our own medicines here. We gotta have our own manufacturing. That's 100% right. I am a bit more iffy on some of them. The two I'm very upset about is you've got two elections this year. You've got Canada, you've got Australia. And both Canada's got a globalist prime minister, and Canada and Australia's got a communist, a pro-Chinese communist prime minister. Both of them were set to lose. But when Trump put the tariffs on Canada and Australia, that boosted their chances. Now it's very, very possible that the communists could be returned to Australia and Australia, and the globalists could come back in Canada. And as Trump is preparing to confront China in the Pacific, we need Canada and we need Australia. We don't want a pro-Chinese globalist in Canada. We don't want a pro-Chinese communist in Australia. Australia's critical in confronting China in the Pacific. So I think Trump has dropped the ball on that one. He's just thinking purely economics, not foreign policy, not to the long term. So conservatives in both those countries would be good.
Go into a little more detail. I know you wrote a book, and tell us the name of it, on what's going on Australia. Australia, of course, we feel like on one hand it doesn't mean anything, but it totally means strategically, of course, but it also means something because it seems like it's always the pilot project for the globalist. They try out there what they're going to do to us everywhere else. But talk about your book there in a little more details about the communist prime minister and everything.
Well, I'll put it, it's right there. I've
Okay.
got it here. It's called Comrade Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's 40-year alliance with Australian communism. And so the reason Australia is important is America has military bases there, listening posts there. That Australia controls that whole, well, you need Australia if you're going to confront China in Indonesia, in Philippines, in Taiwan. You need it for bases, you need it for communications facilities. China is going right through the Pacific right now. They just did big live firing drills off the coast of Australia and New Zealand. The Chinese have just done a big deal in the Cook Islands, which is 1,000 miles from New Zealand, technically part of New Zealand, where the Cook Islands basically just defied New Zealand and did a big mineral exploration deal with the Chinese. Which is going to open up the Chinese to that area. And the Chinese have effectively got a base in East Timor, which is 80 miles from Australia. So you need an anti-communist prime minister in Australia, not a man who's had 40-year relationship with the communist movement, who's got a communist foreign minister who also loves China, who hates America, and wants to bring Australia into the Chinese orbit. They got an election in May the 3rd. That's going to decide not just the fate of Australia, but the fate of the entire South Pacific, including my native country, New Zealand. So that's why I wrote the book, and it's selling very well in Australia right now, but every American who loves liberty should read it too. Because Anthony Albanese's worse than Obama. He's been involved with the communist movement for 40 years. He adopts their policies. He adopts their racial policies, their foreign policies, their environmental policies 100%. He is a communist. But most Australians have no idea of this. So that's why I wrote the book, and it's been, I've had interviews all over Australia, and I've got another one, another couple later on today. It's going very well, but the Conservative would probably have won quite easily if Trump hadn't put the tariffs on Australia. So I'm still hoping we can pull one out there. But yeah, I hope people will get the book and read it. It's a case study of how a small group of people can take communists can take over a whole country. A friendly foreign country like Australia is on the verge of going communist.
Well, yeah, no, it's we have a lot of the Agenda Weekly subscribers are down in
Well,
Australia.
I'm thinking that too. Yeah,
Yes.
I think a lot, I know you have a big audience in Australia and New Zealand,
Yes.
and I hope if they want to get the book, they can just get it on Amazon. If you
Okay.
live in America, you can get it from what a signed copy. Just go to trevorlowden.com. But Amazon, I'm selling lots of them in Australia at the moment, and I urge any of your Australian viewers to get it because you'll find it fascinating. I'll tell you that.
Yes, and it could be the tool that is able to help you stop what's going on over there. So, no, it's a blessing. I appreciate the.
Yeah, look, if you're going to win a war, you've got to know your enemy. And most Australians have no idea about Anthony Albanese and Penny Wong and all of the communists he has around him. Even his chief of staff is a communist, regarded as the second most powerful person in Australia. And so, but 99% of Australians have no idea of this. And they say, well, why don't the security intelligence services say something about this? Because he's their boss. They can't expose their own boss, can they?
The communists are so good at doing what they do, so infiltrating, subverting,
Unfortunately, yes.
and yeah, no, it's amazing. It's
Got to give the devil his due, don't you? It's
yeah.
unfortunately.
The Alger Hisses of the movement are pretty amazing how they can work their way into such high positions. Now.
Yeah, the whole West, I think the whole West is in trouble because the Soviets, then the Chinese, have been putting people in power in our governments for 100 years now. Presidents, prime ministers, secretaries of defense, senators, congressmen. There's hundreds of them in every Western country.
Yep, and they're so effective. No, well, now I want to go on for the remainder of our time because this is so important. Everybody, this is a book that you need to get. The other one you need to get to, especially if you're interested in Australia, what's going on. But could you, do you have the Kamala book there you could hold up for a minute?
Sure.
This book here, he's holding up right there. I want to talk about it. Stealth is the name of it. And we've talked about it before, but it's something you need in your library, and you need to not think, oh, Kamala didn't get in there, so now it's irrelevant. No, it's more relevant because it shows you how the system works. But Dr. David Noble, who many of you know, and I have been friends with him since I was 5 years old, and back in 1971, he is one of the leading anti-communists in the world on understanding the communist threat. He's been writing books on it for 60 years. And he said of Trevor's book there, he said, it's the book of the century. And he's not throwing that out just to be kind to Trevor. He reads every book that comes out on the communist movement and everything. And he said, this is the most powerful one I've read. So we're going to get into it a little bit. So he'll explain to you why some of the things it covers, how important it is to understand this. And it's the same reason we talked about at the very beginning, why our vigilance can never die, our motivation, or because there's an enemy from within that will take advantage of any sleep, slumber, rest, R&R that we take, because they have an agenda to wipe us out and to take us over. But Trevor, just start walking us through for a few minutes that book, some of the key things in there, and why it's so important for every single American to understand what's in there.
Okay, I think we all understand by now that we're at war with China. That they are infiltrating us, are stealing our secrets. They've been pushing the border influx. They're in Hollywood. They're in big tech. They're pushing fentanyl on our kids. They are just Well, they gave us the COVID. Then they managed the response to the COVID, because you'll find that every state that had the harshest lockdowns were the states with the most Chinese influence, where the Chinese controlled the unions and the local politicians like Gavin Newsom, etc. So they're at war with us. It's not a shooting war yet, but they're getting ready for that too. So what the book does is shows how the Chinese have been infiltrating our political system, the Democratic Party particularly, since the 1980s. Now, a lot of people remember Jesse Jackson, the famous scamster that ran twice for president in 1984 and 1988. His operation was a Chinese operation. It was run by pro-Chinese communists from the Black Panthers, from the League of Revolutionary Struggle, from the Line of March, the Communist Workers' Party, all these little Chinese communist groups you've never heard of. They ran his Rainbow Coalition. And from that time, the people from there have, Donna Brazile and all these people, have heavily infiltrated the Democratic Party. They gave us Andrew Gillum in Georgia. They gave us Stacey Abrams, who thinks he's the governor. Andrew Gillum from Florida, who almost became the governor. Stacey Abrams, who thinks she's the governor of Georgia. Crybaby Cory Booker, Barack Obama. The Chinese gave us Barack Obama. And they gave us both Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And they came pretty close to putting that team into the White House. You know, it's 5%, 3 or 4%, you know. It was a good election for Trump, but it could have gone the wrong way still. And so what the book is about is the Chinese influence in our voting system, the Chinese influence in the Democratic Party, the Chinese influence behind Barack Obama and Stacey Abrams, how the Chinese took over Virginia. They turned Virginia from red to blue, and they've done the same in several other Georgia and other states. Have turned them purple, Arizona being another one. So it's how the Chinese have deeply influenced our politics in ways that virtually no Americans understand, and it's still there. Kamala and Walz failed. They were long-term communists who have chosen for the position, but there are more behind them. So we got to use this Trump term to find out exactly how big this movement is and how we can counter it and get the information out there so Trump makes the necessary calls so this movement is crushed or pushed back for decades. Otherwise, as you say, Curtis, we could get all back next time.
That's
You
right.
know,
No.
we get all you know, all next time it could happen.
Yeah, our marching orders the next 4 years, where we hopefully will have some grace and some mercy on what's going on, is to be educated, to be studying, understanding, and then sharing it with neighbors, friends, coworkers, and family, because that's the key. That's what from 2020, COVID awakened this whole group of millions of people. And once you dig in, then you start to see the lies. It makes you mad. It makes you motivated. And so we had tens of millions come onto our side going, I can't believe they've been lying to us about everything. But so many people, and I want you to go a little more detail on this, so many people, even on our side, that know China's enemy, they do not understand how serious a threat China is to literally take us over with boots on the ground, boots on the back of our neck. Talk about that a little more. What you've been studying, because I've read your stuff of their military expansions and their different things they've been planning for a long time to be successful in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, well, they plan to be at war with America and destroy America within the next 5 years. And a big part of that is the politics. And I talk in the book, Stealth, you know, Kamala Harris's communist roots. I talk about the politics, but I also talk a little bit about what China's plans are. And China's plans are to destroy and occupy the United States. It's not to compete with us economically or make us number two. The Chinese, in the book Unrestricted Warfare, written by two Chinese generals in 1999, they talked about how We, China, as a weaker country, can destroy the bigger country, not because we want to, because America's been good to us, but it's a matter of our survival. We've got too many people. We've got too much pollution. We've got not enough arable land. We're going to have a massive collapse on China. Where can we send our people if not America? America is our Lebensraum, like Hitler wanted Europe for living space for the Germans. They want the United States f to settle their people on, meaning that we won't get to stay here. And that is why they're doing the COVID. That's why they're doing the fentanyl. That's why they have other pandemics in the pipeline. And that's why they are building 9 ships to our one. That's why they're building 100 to 200 nukes a year. Well, we haven't built a new one since 1992. General Spalding recently, a very prominent man said, currently, if we went to war with China, they would easily beat us. Now, we should be worried about that. Plus, as we've also mentioned, we think there could be up to 100,000 Chinese military-aged nationals who snuck across the border in the last few years. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for the day. They're waiting for the day that things go kinetic, and they'll be out there assassinating public officials. They'll be blowing up dams, shutting down power stations, releasing toxins, releasing pandemics. There was a Chinese biological warfare factory found in California a year ago, which had 36 different pathogens and all these mice that have been genetically or engineered to spread those pathogens. So if we think China isn't serious about wiping us out, we're delusional. And I think we've got this 4-year God-given opportunity to change, turn things around. If we don't make full use of this 4 years, we deserve what we get.
Yeah,
Simple. And it won't
that's
be
right.
pleasant.
Yeah,
And we might think we're, me and you, I think maybe I'm not here in 4 years, but my kids are, my grandchildren are,
that's right. That's right. No, it's you talking about that too. Just my mind was thinking where you started going with it. Can you imagine you're at war with a country, but they have 100,000 people inside of your country that are going to start just, terrorizing you from within and sabotaging everything and blowing up interstate overpasses. So the traffic, I mean, you have 100,000 people just at war with you, but you don't know who they are or where they are or what they're doing. You could never win that war because they could do so much damage internally. You couldn't even fight the conflict. Even if the conflict was external, you would have trouble. So, man, that's
Well,
sobering.
the American communists who backed Kamala all the way, they talk about if China goes to war with America, we will be working on a new front. Meaning they will be working like the French resistance against the Nazis to sabotage things here. Plus, we've got over 2 million Chinese nationals living in the country, and most of them basically are answerable to the CCP. So we got 100,000 maybe soldiers, but we could have another 2 million fifth columnists.
Oh, yeah.
During World War II, FDR was so scared of the Japanese people here, he locked them all away. Well, what do we do if it's a war with China when we've got 2 million Chinese on our soil? What the heck happens then? So, how do you determine the loyalty of each one?
No, it's so tough. And I speak at a church in California where there's a lot of Chinese Americans there, and some of them have come up to me. They've become Christians and they're going to this church, but they say we live in neighborhoods there in Northern California where it's almost all Chinese. And they were telling me that they go, they have to read their Chinese propaganda every day because they watch them from there on their phones reading all the
Oh,
things that they have to read.
yeah.
Yeah, they're still propagandizing their own people in America and keeping control of them and watching them carefully. But they were telling me about that, how they go, I feel uncomfortable in my own Chinese
Well,
American
that's right. And
neighborhood.
the fact that they're going to church gives them a big black mark right there.
Yes.
They have the Chinese still have Chinese police stations in several states. These are little stations that monitor the local Chinese diaspora. I'm not talking about the Chinese have been here since the California Gold Rush. I'm talking about
Right.
the people have really come here since the 70s. Large influxes of Chinese nationals into this country. They are, many of them are, most of them got here through the permission of the Chinese Communist Party. You don't just get up and leave China unless the Chinese Communist Party has some of your relatives back home to keep, to keep you under control. That's a very big problem. So we got 4 years to sort this out. We got to get rid of the illegals so they can't just steal our elections so easily. We got to clamp down on the big vote fraud operations, which are basically run like mafias in all the big democratic states. And we got to sort out what the heck we're going to do with China.
That's
You
right.
know,
That's
we
right.
you know we got to expel a lot of the nationals who are here, anybody that's suspicious, and we got to get amongst those people and find out who's loyal and who isn't. There's been several cases in the last year of espionage in the US military for China. Every one of them was a Chinese national who joined our Navy or Army or Air Force. Every single one of them has been a Chinese national. So those are the ones we've caught.
Exactly. Oh, well, so his book Stealth, which you need to get, and we'll talk about how to get that one second.
Yeah, right there, folks.
There it is right there. And but here's the key about it. It has Kamala in the title. She is irrelevant. They'll just put a different name in there this next election. They'll put a different name in there. But all of the information showing, talking about the apparatus, talking about how they've infiltrated and subverted from within the institutions and all the things they're doing, you have to be aware of, or you're going to be ignorant too. And then I'm sure in 4 years, Trevor will let us know, oh, here's the new one they've picked to plug into the
Oh,
call.
yeah, I know they're already doing that now. But look,
Yeah.
Trump's got, here's an example of how this works. Trump's got three surplus seats in the Congress. Three, right? After four seats flipped from Republican, four seats went to the Democrats in California alone after the elections, because pro-Chinese voter registration groups through a thing called Seed the Vote were getting people to go into all those four districts and cure ballots. Meaning, if somebody submitted a ballot that wasn't filled out right, you could go to their house and get them to fill it out right and resubmit it. And they were openly advertising on Facebook, we need to cure more ballots so the Democrats win these seats so Trump doesn't get a big majority. You know, this was open.
Yes.
These are same Chinese networks that stole the election in 2020, 2022 and 2020. Same Chinese networks working out of the Chinese consulate in San Francisco, the networks that flipped the seven, six key states in 2020 and 2022, and the networks that gave you Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, Barack Obama, Stacey Abrams, Andrew Gillum's, crybaby Cory Booker, and a whole bunch of other politicians.
Yeah. No, it's they again, they have a plan and they are working intently to accomplish those purposes. Go to trevorlouden.com to get a signed copy. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're in America, if you're in the
Yeah.
United States, you get a signed copy through trevorlouden.com
Yeah,
or
and that's the best way to get it. You can also get on amazon.com and get the different books Trevor's written there. And if that's the only way you're going to get it, then go get it there. But those that are happy to go to trevorlouden.com and get it directly from him, then he gets 100% of the proceeds instead of having to split it with Amazon. So, but get a copy or two of this book and read it, where you have that understanding, but then you give it to the head of your Tea Party group to read, or your pastor, or people you know that have some more influence even than you do, to go, hey, you need to understand this threat from within. And this book explains it in detail. Just in the last election, here's what they did and what they had done to try to control us. And the same thing will be going forward in 2028. So it could be a great blessing. And again, every person we wake right now is one more person that's going to say thank you, no, to their plans in 2028 or 2026, this next election even coming up. But no, that's great. Well, Trevor, I've always loved.
Well, I just want to say, look, your movie's agenda, I reckon they swung the election of 2010. I reckon they've had a massive impact. The book, back in the 60s, John Stormer's book, None Dare Call It Treason, gave us the Reagan Revolution. These things matter. These things
Yes.
help. So, a friend of mine, a pastor in Tampa, he read my book. He said, "We didn't dodge a bullet with Kamala. We dodged a nuke."
That's
But you're right. These seeds. Who knows what if the president for 2036 gets involved in politics because you saw your movie or read my book,
Exactly.
that.
Exactly.
This is planting the seeds. This is what we do, isn't it,
No, the
Curtis?
truth is so powerful, and it sets people free from the lies. That's why it's our job as Christians to do that, because we're supposed to love our neighbor, and one of the best ways to love them is to expose to them how the world really works, so they're not deceived by seeing things that sound good but are not good. And the communists, as Trevor studied him his whole life, and so have I, they're masters and making you feel while you're working to destroy yourself that you're doing something that is morally valuable and important and meaningful. You're saving the planet or whatever it may be, and we need to let people know that those are all lies.
Well, that's what they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, isn't it?
That's
So
right.
good intentions aren't enough. You need wisdom and discernment. And I think this is why we do what we do, Curtis. We use our expertise. You've been to communist meetings, you've studied the movement, but you've used that information to enlighten millions of other people. Brazil electing Bolsonaro, many people credit your movie with doing that. We need truth. We need truth and courage right now. That's what we need to stop the evil that's out there in the world. And, give people the truth and they will be courageous and they'll get out there and do this. I think we're on the verge of a lot of good things happening in America, Curtis. But we cannot be complacent. We were complacent in 2016, and how did we feel in 2020? We don't want to blow this second chance because I don't think we'll get another.
That's right. No, absolutely. So go to trevorlouden.com or Amazon and get Stealth by Trevor Louden, and get a copy or two, I recommend, and then ingest it and then get it out there to other people, and it'll make a great difference, everyone that reads it. But Trevor, I appreciate all that you do. I'm glad you're a friend of mine, and hope to see you soon.
Well, thank you. I hope to catch up with you soon. It's always we've been sort of we've been connected for many years now, and we know each other's families. And I often talk about your family as an example of what we should all aspire to. So
Well,
it's a pleasure to know you, Curtis. And please give my regards to your family when you see them.
I sure will. Thanks so much, Trevor.
Thank you, sir.
I hope you enjoyed that and learned some things. If you do like studying and better understanding what's going on, his book, Stealth, really outlines how the communists have been so successful at taking over the Democratic Party and the other influencers in our country. It really helps your eyes see that and be aware of it to educate others. But our verse for this week is Proverbs 24:9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. So it's an encouragement and a reminder to us that we want to take every thought captive, because even the thought of foolishness is sin, and so we don't even want the thought to come into our mind, because then it'll eventually end in sin as well. And the scorner is an abomination to men. The scorner is best understood by looking at the Democrats and many of the Republicans too. A scorner is someone that's always mocking what is right, always rebelling just for the sake of rebellion, even if they're not personally benefiting. They're just scorning things that are good, right? And God says they're an abomination to men. Yes, they certainly are. Well, I appreciate you joining me, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And until next week, God bless you.